When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the podcast. It's your grandma's favorite podcast. We are the Pens and Stuff podcast. I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
And Abby's gone. So
yeah,
for that one bad review about her, this is the podcast for you.
Yes, enjoy.
That happened like 3 years ago. So I mean,
yeah, that was a long, long time ago, actually.
Yeah, but back when we were one mic on a table.
Yeah, so. I mean, it wasn't quality at all. So
it wasn't what it was. Yeah. No, not like we are now. We have gotten much better. Anyway, this isn't a behind the scenes fact. Welcome to the podcast, where we talk about everything from the Penguins to Justin Bieber and Tate McRae and the All Star game. I don't know. Yeah. So this week for the Penguins.
Yeah, we're recording on Saturday this week.
We are recording on Saturday for those of you who are our weekly listeners.
So we do have some thoughts on the All-Star skills competition that happened last night. But we're going to begin by talking.
You didn't watch it.
That's true. I watched a little bit of the hardest shot.
Okay.
That was on the screen.
The YouTubes.
Yeah, when I was watching some of that. I watched a little bit of it live. I was at a family gathering and snuck into the bathroom for about 5 minutes and
wow.
Yeah. You know how that is.
Don't let mom hear this,
but no, seriously, you know how that is because I know you do that too.
What? Anyway, the Penguins had two games this week on Friday and Saturday, the 26th and the 27th of January, 2024.
Yep.
They played at home for both of them, one against Florida, which they lost in the shootout 3-2. Well, so technically it was 2-2, lost to the shootout. And then, they beat Montreal in overtime 3-2. Thoughts on these games?
A lot better than I thought it would be. If you guys are regular listeners, you heard me last week say that I didn't think the Penguins would probably only get 2 points this week. They wound up getting three, which is awesome. I mean, we'll take the extra point. I did see a little bit of the Flyers game, or not the Flyers, the Florida game. And the whole situation revolving around Letang and the quote unquote hit on who was that he knocked over?
Their guy, Sasha, Alexander Barkov.
Barkov, that's it. I saw the play, and quite frankly, I think the Florida Panthers were just looking for something to beef about. Because that was really Barkov fell. I mean, I don't think Letang even pushed him. I mean, he may have like bumped him a little bit, and they did call interference on the play, which personally was a joke. But I think in my opinion, and if you're a Florida fan, you're probably going to write me and tell me I'm an idiot. But in my opinion, I think Barkov was looking to get a double minor because that looked like a flop and it bit him in the butt because he hit his head when he fell down. And yeah.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on that play, at least in that first game. But yeah, the Penguins come back and tie it push it to a shootout. Yep. So yeah, good comeback point for the Pens there.
Yeah, I watched the third period of this game, and then the shootout overtime shootout. The overtime, there were a lot of good chances for both teams, if I recall correctly. They were back and forth, and it was a fun game to watch. Like just that period, and I came in the back end of all the fighting and the aggressiveness. But what you were saying about Barkov looking for a penalty and them trying to get something to beef about.
Yeah.
That's how the Florida Panthers play. Like when they're, when they think you're out to get them, they will, they'll take it, kick it to another level. That's why they were so good last year in the playoffs.
Yes.
Because no one believed in them. And they were like, well, we're going to prove you all wrong and kick it to another level and make it. And so when Chris Letang is out for the head of Barkov, which, you know.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's not that kind of player. Like if it was a player like Tom Wilson, you could believe it a bit more.
Oh yeah.
But it's Chris Letang. Chris Letang's not physical at all.
No.
Like,
no.
He'll put the body on you, but he won't cheap shot you.
He will take a hit if it's there.
Yeah.
But like you said, he's not going to cheap shot you. And
now, okay, if it was someone like Malkin, I could also see it. Malkin
is
a bit of a feisty player as well.
I think the term you're looking for is hot head.
Yes, but but it's Letang, and so they made a mountain out of a molehill with that.
Yep,
and they got physical, and I mean it shows in the power play differential. Right, we had two penalties. I think we gave them three power play chances. They scored on both, and then we had eight power play chances in this game, and we got one.
Yeah, yeah.
Story of the season.
Yeah, well, yeah, and yeah, it is the story of the season. But I loved Letang's reaction when Barkov fell down, and everybody on Florida's bench is going, "What's up with that?" And he's just looking at him like, "You got to be kidding me." he was,
bruh.
Yeah,
you kidding me?
There you go. And
there it is.
It's ridiculous. These guys are just,
a little bit, yeah,
yeah. But anyway. A good point there for the Penguins that, I mean, obviously it was one that I did not think that they would get, but glad they did. So it helps. I mean, every point helps, as we saw last year.
Yep.
And
failure to get even one gave Florida their chance.
Yeah. And who knows what Pittsburgh's going to do here in the next month. And that's a little foreshadowing for coming up here
another conversation topic. So we move on to Saturday, back to back, both at home, where the Penguins were playing the Montreal Canadiens. Caden Gooley with his disgusting mustache scored in the first. Lars Eller on his 100th game night scored the one to tie that at one. Then Yaro Slavkovsky, mouthful, scores on the power play. Jake Gensel scores it. 10:03 left in the period, and then Marcus Pettersson puts the overtime winner in, looking like prime Bobby Orr, I guess.
Yeah.
Saw Bobby Orr play, but
it was a shot that the goalie probably should have stopped. In all honesty.
Yeah, for sure. But this game, when I saw Jake Gallen was in net, I told Clara, my wife, I was like, yeah, we're going to be able to light him up. And he played out of his head.
They always do for some reason.
Look at their numbers and tell me the Penguins should not be putting six past him that night.
Well, and
look at the numbers.
Yeah,
but Jake Allen is not a good goalie.
I would be interested, and if I had more time to devote to it, I probably would. But I would love to just look at opposing goalie numbers against the Penguins compared to regular goalie numbers against other teams. And I think what you would find is that the goalies, when they play the Penguins, wind up, you know, kicking it up to another level. That their stats, goals against average, save percentage, is always a tick higher against the Penguins.
It always feels like that.
It feels that way anyway.
Yeah, but it could also be what we've talked about in the past, and like the Steelers have struggled with, is playing down to their opponents.
No, that's too. That's true too.
Like they always do this, and it bugs the patooey out of me.
Yeah.
That, like,
how do you spell that?
P-A-T-H-O-O, patooey. But
O-O-Y? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no Y, patooey.
That would be two.
Well, no, probably is one. Anyway, but just the idea that we can't beat the cupcake teams that we should beat. We can't beat the guys who, you know, in other words, are trash. Like,
yeah,
we struggle against the bad teams, but we play really good against the good teams. Like, this was like a, like we push Florida to a shootout, and then the Canadians lead the game up until the overtime goal. They're either leading or tied. We can't get a lead on them.
Yeah.
And it's annoying and it's frustrating. And the Penguins ran the pace of this game for the most part of it, most of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you look at it and we had 33 shots on goal to their 27. We won two faceoffs for their one. I mean, they scored once on the power play. We had two chances, didn't put any in. Again,
we doubled them in faceoff wins.
61-39, pretty much, yeah.
Holy mackerel.
And then we had more takeaways than they did, and they had 26 block shots. I think that was the big thing. Like, we attempted, what would that have been? What 26 plus 33, that's 59 shots. We attempted 59 shots.
Close to 60, yeah.
And only, well, we probably attempted more. That's not counting the ones that missed the net.
Well,
that
didn't get blocked. That's true. That's true too.
So we're shooting. We're just not shooting high quality chances, and a Montreal body was in front of them the entire time. But yeah, Montreal is a tough team for the Penguins this season. The other game we played was a 5-4-3 over a shootout win for the Penguins. Jansen Harkins putting it in. But
I remember that. I remember that game. Yeah. Yeah. That was a good game. But I think anyway. I think you're right. I think the Penguins tend to play down to their competition, and you know, it seems as if, I don't know where this team is going this year. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs. We've got another 2 months basically, before the end of the season, and. What I know, I should know this, but let me double check this. Where are we as far as where are we? Come on,
standings.
Yeah, I'm trying to see.
I believe we're seventh in the. Oh, we're fifth in the Metro. Okay,
fifth in the Metro. Well, okay,
we're tied with New Jersey and Washington below us, but we have a game in hand. 32, we are currently 5 points out of third.
Okay, 32 games left to play. Many of them are going to be within the division. So this is going to be, this is going to be the rest of this month in March. It's going to be telling. I think we will know. When is trade deadline?
I believe it's sometime in March.
Yeah, I know it's March, but I was just wondering if you knew like the exact date.
March 8th is the trade deadline.
Okay. First Friday. So Friday, March 8th. Second Friday in March.
Second Friday in March. And that's like a week before I'm
in Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Your boy 16th. Is going to be in Pittsburgh for the Rangers game. So if you're in at that game on the 16th, if you're at that game.
That game's going to be on ABC too, man. We'll have to watch and see if we can find.
Pretty good seats.
See if we can see Andrew on the. You got what jersey are you wearing? So we know what to look for.
My Sitz jersey. I might wear my Gensel jersey, and I might. Is it Clara? My wife might buy me one for my birth. Like, buy me one so I can. Yeah. I'll use my Christmas money and buy one. Okay. So I might be rocking who was I going to get?
Elite offensive defenseman Marcus Pedersen, the Dragon.
I might be Marcus Pedersen, or we might get Jari Ned jerseys, Claire and I.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun. So, okay, here's the question, or here's what you need to do. Okay, just as we approach that particular time a month from now, what we will need from you, Andrew, is for you to post a picture on social media of the jersey that you will be wearing to that game so that we can look for you on the TNV and see if we can't find you, because
I mean, I will definitely be rocking my bright green Mighty Ducks hat. So
your bright green, your Mighty Ducks green ball cap, right?
Yeah, the District 5.
Are you going to wear it forwards or backwards? Because
I wear it backwards. I'm a
backwards. I know you wear it backwards, but if you wore it forwards, it'd probably be easier to find you.
Possibly. But then people behind me won't be able to come up and shiv me in the back because they hate the podcast. So
well, that's also true.
So
anyway,
it'll be a fun game to be at. I'm very excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to living vicariously through you in that too, because that'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'll be sending pictures. Don't you worry.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
I've never been to Pittsburgh. So one of the elders at my church calls it Armpitsburgh. Because he doesn't like the city, apparently.
Whatever. So. I'll tell you what. The I've been to Pittsburgh as an adult twice. As a kid, I was there, I think, 5 or 6 times. And I never recall having a bad experience. Your grandfather and I went to a Steelers game at Old Three Rivers Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They were playing a Monday night game against the Packers. And just the tailgating and the crowd and walking in, and your grandpa was a Green Bay fan, and he was, and walking he had his Green Bay paraphernalia on, and I thought, man, he's gonna get butchered, right? But they were really nice to him, and they actually talked football with him, which was awesome. You know, he talked about Brett Favre was on the team at that time, and just
so this was early 90s and end of
mid to late 90s. Yeah.
Okay.
And so, it was just really, really cool. I think Pittsburgh is a really neat city. And like I said, it's been, it's been a long time since I've been there. So,
one thing I've noticed is that fans will be cordial to you if you're cordial to them. But if you're a dipwad, like being crude and rude to them, most of them will not, you know, they won't take it lying down,
right?
But they'll, if you're not being a jerk
right
about them, which is why they hate Baltimore fans and Cleveland Brown fans, because they're all dipwads.
And Cincinnati Bengal fans. I mean,
I there was a little kid at Pathway, one of the churches I was at one
time,
that he was a Cincinnati fan. Okay. When they were playing the Chiefs, his brother had a Pat Mahomes jersey on, then he had a Jamar Chase jersey on. And I was like, hey, I like your jersey. I'm voting for the Chiefs, Bengals, because I can't stand the Chiefs. So I was voting for the Ravens. Yes, I know. And people are going to lambaste me, but I like Lamar Jackson. He's a fun quarterback to watch, but
yeah, I didn't get that far in my,
that's understandable.
I mean, I guess technically I was rooting for Baltimore to win that game, but just because I'm so sick of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift.
I'm not sick of that. I'm just sick of him with his podcast. The players who have podcasts are so obnoxious. So annoying. It's like, wait till you retire, then you can step into that arena. You know, like we don't need one while you're doing it. Like same thing with Draymond Green. Or Micah Parsons, or all these guys with podcasts. Yeah. Like, wait till you retire.
Yeah.
And then you can have a podcast.
Yeah, like Ben did.
Yeah. I mean, Ben still gets in trouble with his podcast weekly. So that's stuff that it's like, what are you doing?
Well, the thing I like about Ben is he's not afraid to speak his mind.
No, yeah.
And he's not beholden to Pittsburgh as a franchise either. So
no, which is crazy because he played his whole year. He's still living in Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Suburbs. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So, all right.
So anyway,
now that this has kind of turned into all sports podcast, which isn't bad. We like sports. We have to talk about one of the biggest clouds hanging over the Penguins this year, not their power play. We've talked about this plenty. But we got to talk about the idea that Jake Guentzel has refused a contract. There's been reports coming out. Let me make sure I get this right from who it is, who it's from. But there is reports that Dubas offered up a 6-year, $8.5 million contract. A 6-year, $50 million contract. So 8.5, basically, keep him around in Pittsburgh. Until what would that be? If it's 6 years, he's 29, 35.
35.
But and he, what they say is that he hasn't signed it yet. There's no thoughts that he rejected it. Or there's no nothing saying that he rejected it, but there aren't. He's not signing it. So, what do you do with Jake Guentzel? That's the question. What do we do with Jake Guentzel here going forward? Obviously, you know, we're not out of the playoffs yet, but Jake Guentzel could get quite a haul. That's the thing you're stuck with. Like, you have a guy who won't sign or isn't signing an extension with you, and he's in his prime, and you could get a haul for him, you know, from a team that needs him. Thinking like a team like, let's see, New Jersey. You know, well, you wouldn't trade interdivisional, I don't think. Boston, maybe. A Vancouver. Vancouver was in the running until they got Lindholm, but they're not done. Jim Rutherford likes Guentzel.
He loves him some Jake.
So you could see it. Maybe like a Dallas. I could see Dallas pulling the trigger on him. Minnesota, if they were not buns, I could see them pulling the trigger. But what do we do with Jake Guentzel here moving forward? That's the question. I'll let you talk.
Well,
go ahead.
You know, you mentioned Minnesota. I don't think Minnesota is a possibility. I really don't. I mean, he may want to go there. But I really don't think Minnesota is really a viable option for Jake at this point. That's just me.
Yeah. I mean, they're seventh in the Central, and they are, what would that be? 47 minus 54. Like, well, I guess they're not that far out of a playoff spot. They're seven out of a playoff spot, 7 points.
Minnesota.
Yeah. That's doable. Is it a possibility? No, but it's doable. Like, so they may pull the trigger on someone like Jake, but I don't know their cap situation either. But would you even entertain the idea of trading him? Would you just ride it out? And obviously you have to wait to find out where you're at by the deadline. You know, like the Penguins, unfortunately, they don't have a lot of interdivisional games coming up yet until the end of March. Like, we play in this month of February, we play the Islanders and the Philadelphia Flyers. Those are the only two teams interdivisional we play. And then we play
in the
Washington before the deadline, on the 5th and the 7th.
Are you saying before the deadline?
Before the deadline, yeah. And then we play Columbus, Washington. So we have four divisional games before the deadline. And then we play the Rangers, the Devils, the Blue Jackets, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Caps, and the Devils again. So, like, after the deadline is when most of our divisional games come up. So it's going to be difficult to know where we sit in the division.
Yeah, yeah.
That, before the deadline,
that is kind of the crux of the situation, isn't it? I mean, I think what this move tells us is that Jake wants to try the open market. Jake doesn't want to sign with Pittsburgh until he sees what he can get from other teams as a free agent. So I don't think Jake is going to sign any contract that is multi-year at this point. I don't think Jake's going to sign a contract, period, at this point. Until the end of the year.
Yeah.
Now the question is, you know, if you're Dubas, do you believe that Jake loves the Penguins and wants to stay with the Penguins enough that he would, you know, entertain offers from other teams and still choose Pittsburgh if the deal was competitive? Right? So,
yeah.
Or would he go to some other team in the offseason? So I guess if Dubas thinks that Pittsburgh would not be able to compete with some of these other teams as far as the dollars on the contract, then absolutely you need to trade him before the deadline. Because you need to get something for Guentzel. You can't let him walk for nothing. Okay.
No.
So it basically, in my mind, it comes down to how Dubas is thinking through this whole thing. Is he thinking, you know, I'm going to be able to sign Jake in the off season. We're going to be okay. Or does he think, you know, teams like, you know, Minnesota, teams like Vancouver, teams like even Washington or, you know, within the division.
Oh, it would kill me to see Jay Gensel in a Caps jersey.
Yeah. Or a Islanders jersey or a Canes jersey. But at the same time, if you think that is going to happen, then entertain trades now and see what you can get for him. Because if you can get 2-3 draft picks and a prospect and a NHL ready player now, then to me, that balance is worth it. I mean, Jake is a point. He's basically a point per game player right now, just a little under regular season, over that in the playoffs. I think you could get a very huge return on someone like Jake, but that's just me. And again, I'm not a GM. I don't do this for a living.
Here's an idea.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, pie in the sky, super high out there. But what if, just hear me out, Jake Gensel, you know, we're still in the playoff hunt, but Jake Gensel's not signing. He says, I'm not going to sign with you, so this is my last season here. Okay, he says that. Or you just get that feeling.
Yep.
You send him and Nedeljkovic. Or, here's an idea, Tristan Jarry and Jake Gensel. To the Anaheim Ducks for John Gibson, Trevor Zegras, and a couple picks thrown in, maybe a prospect instead of the picks.
Okay.
Like you get a NHL caliber goaltender who is under contract. You get Jake Gensel who will help you win, you know, will help you win now. And obviously we may have to throw in a pick or a prospect, and I'm okay with that. I'll throw in Alex Nylander. But you get Trevor Zegras. Yeah, and Abby brought up Trevor Zegras last week, right?
Yes, she did.
You get Trevor Zegras, you get John Gibson, who is, you know, he's off your books at the end of the year. You can go and make a big splash in free agency or in the goaltending pool, or you just bring up Joel Blomqvist and let him trial by fire, right?
Sure.
Like, he's supposed to be one of the best goaltending prospects, at least he was, and you have him.
Yeah.
And Zegras is only making 5.8, which is what Jake is basically making now. And so
that's what he was offered, right? Basically.
Well, no, he was offered 8.5.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, and of course, again, pie in the sky, but I mean,
okay, let me add this to it. You make that trade at the deadline. And then what's to say that you don't sign Jake in the off season? Cause he's still a free agent.
There you go. Yeah. Would he sign in Anaheim? I doubt it. Unless Anaheim gives him 10.5 for five, you know, like,
or the franchise. you can have the franchise.
Yeah.
Not that I think he's that great of a player, but
yeah. Bleacher Report has them both on the block. Another one. And I saw the stat out there that the Penguins sit at giving up the least amount of goals in the league.
Are you serious?
Their defense is there. Their goaltending is there. But the problem is we're not scoring. We're like 24th in scoring. And the problem is, what have we pointed to? The power play.
The power play. I mean, yeah, you're right. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
I said, we're winning all these close, like 2-3 games, 3-2 games, like 1-2 games, 1-0 games. If we could just score on the power, and in those games we're scoring, we get like 5 power play chances and we're not scoring on any of them.
Yep.
And that's the problem. If we could just score once, we'd be at least getting a point out of the games.
Yeah.
At least a point, but we're not getting anything. And so there's got to be something happening. And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Todd Reardon has to go. Yeah, Todd Reardon is the guy in charge of the power play. He's in charge of the defense. Yes, the defense looks great, but the power play is absolutely disgusting. And with Sidney Crosby, Jake Gensel, Eric Karlsson, Chris Letang, Evgeny Malkin, Brian Rust, Ricard Raquel, these names, we should be scoring on the power play. There's no reason why we shouldn't be.
I agree with you. 110%.
And you're wasting the last year of all three of these guys being here, because if we don't win,
they're gone.
We've got too much cap on the books. We have to ship off somebody.
Yep.
I believe this is the last year.
And
Mike Sullivan's career might be in jeopardy. And yeah. I love Mike Sullivan. I think he's a great coach.
I do too.
But something's got to give. And I think the only reason Mike Sullivan's not gone yet is because Kyle Dubas is brand new to the team. And he feels like he's got to give Mike Sullivan at least a year.
I think that's a good take. I think that's true. Anybody else? So, like if this had been Kyle's second, third, fourth year, Sully may have been gone in December. But we'll see. I don't know. Your point about Todd Reirden is well taken, and I think that's a good point. But do you fire Reirden, or do you bring on one extra assistant just to work on the power play? Keep Todd pumping that defense.
Yeah, can you
because it's doing so well, or do you bring in another assistant just to work on that power play? I don't know.
The problem is though, How do you pull that away from him after he's been here? For how long has he been here?
Okay.
He came in right after he lost the Washington Capitals lead.
0-34?
Yeah.
With that talent, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's not okay. You're done. Your power play, your philosophy, your scheme, whatever it is, it's not working. And we got to go a different direction. That's how you do it.
That's true.
But that's me.
No, I agree. Other guys on the block that the Penguins could be looking at is Vlad Tarasenko out of Ottawa. Okay. He's on a 1-year, $5 million contract.
I didn't realize Vlad was in Ottawa. That's right.
Yeah, he came after.
I don't know though.
DeBrincat got traded. I'm just throwing out names right now because what we need is an offensive wing, right? And the only guys on there like. I mean, Duclair, maybe.
No.
Anthony Mantha.
No.
Like, I don't. Tanner Pearson comes back to Pittsburgh. But, like, what we need is a guy who will, I don't know. And honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing Ricard Raquel leave. Like, he's carrying a big, big load of cap. And he's not been performing. And, I mean, it is his first year on that new contract, I think. And so, it's tough to be like ship him off after he's just got his deal, but I'm still not feeling it. But
yeah.
All right. So that's our talk on Jake Gensel, the shakeup in the league that are on the team that needs to happen. We got a couple more things to talk about here. Running short on time, but we've got to talk about the All-Star Skills competition that happened last night, Friday night. Mm-hmm. I watched the whole thing, and I will say, in the past, we have had guys who are just out there for kicks and giggles, not really doing their hardest, not really trying to win. They're just out there to have fun, which is fine, you know. But this year, they completely overhauled the whole thing. And it was, in my opinion, one of the most fun I've had watching a skills competition in any sport, really. The NFL does a good job with it, but it was a blast. The way it worked is you had 12 guys, I believe they were all voted on by the fans, to participate in it. You had, let me see if I can get this right. Yeah. Nathan McKinnon, you had Cale Makar, you had Elias Pettersson, you had JT Miller, you had, who's the other Vancouver? Oh, Quinn Hughes. Wow. You had Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, Austin Matthews, Willie Stiles, William Nylander. Who else did you have? Oh, David Pastrnak. And you had Matthew Barzal. And then a couple other guys that I can't remember right now. But okay. Basically, they were out there. They competed in 4 out of the 6 challenges. They got to choose. And then the top 5 in every one of those competitions got points. So the first one got 5, the first place person got 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 as it went. And then you combine those totals. After those 6 rounds, the bottom 4 guys got kicked out. They couldn't compete anymore. And then the eight of them faced off against the eight of the goalies, the eight all-star goalies, and in a one-on-one, like, showdown, shootout, challenge kind of thing. And the goaltenders, they were offered whichever goaltender made the most saves got $100 million, $100,000.
Okay.
$100,000. So they have incentive to stop the pucks. The players are playing for $1 million. The one champion of the skills competition gets $1 million.
Wow.
So after the shootout, the bottom two guys get kicked out. They don't play anymore. And then the final one is an obstacle course that they have to compete in. And then the top guy gets 10 points. Second place gets 8, 7, 6, 5, 4 down the line with point totals.
Okay.
And then after that, whoever has the most points win. Connor McDavid won, because of course he did. But it was really a competition to see who was going to be second place, which was Cale Makar. But all in all, it was really fun, because what I heard is the NHL knew something had to change with the All-Star Skills Competition. They knew it because they were like, these guys aren't really competing. They're not into it.
Right.
And so what they money incentive, but they went to Matthews. They went to McKinnon. They went to McDavid. They went to a bunch of players and were like, what would make this more fun for you guys? What would make you compete in it?
Yeah.
And they were like, they threw it out there. And so some of them, like the final obstacle course, McDavid had some help in designing, because it's kind of like his off-season ritual, which not really fair.
No, not at all.
But it was like, and then Matthews had some say in what they were, and it was really cool and it was really fun. And they did a really good job with it, which I don't say often to the NHL, but it was a really good time. If you have time, go to YouTube. If you haven't watched it, watch the one-on-one versus the goalies, because I'm sure it's out there somewhere.
Sure.
That was awesome. Gorgiev pretty much blanked McDavid.
Nice.
And we were talking about how Gorgiev didn't belong, or Abby did. Someone was making fun that Gorgiev got the All-Star nod, but he played really well in the shootout.
Cool.
So unfortunately, I won't be able to watch the All-Star game.
But. So here were the 12 competitors. I got a list in front of me. So do you want me to give that to you so that we we don't miss anybody? David Pastrnak, Nathan McKinnon, Cale Makar.
Said it. Yep.
McDavid and Draisaitl.
Said him.
Matthews. Or Matthew Barzal. Nikita Kucherov.
Yep. Oh, I miss Kucherov, yeah.
Austin Matthews and William Nylander. Elias Pettersson, yep. Quinn Hughes, and JT Miller. Those are the 12 guys.
So did I only miss
Kucherov?
What?
You only miss Kucherov.
I only miss Kucherov?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Kucherov was not into it at all. He did not want to be there. You could tell. He was lackadaisical. He sucked. Like, there was a passing challenge and he maybe got one on the target, right? And it was, but they did the target shot, the precision shooting.
Oh, okay. Right? Yeah.
But they used the breakaway targets again instead of the stupid light up ones.
Oh, like the styrofoam things?
Yeah, it was so much better.
Yeah.
Like, those light up ones were awful. And like,
yeah, cause sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't.
Yeah. There was one, I think it was Petey. No, it was Makar. Cale Makar. He was shooting and he didn't think he got one. So he had to keep going and he missed a couple and then he hit it again. But the replay showed that he didn't nick a little bit of the top. And so it counted. So we got some time shaved off, which helped him make it to like get more points because he was like second behind.
Oh, McDavid. So they did a review and they took like the time that he shot at that a couple more times.
Yeah.
They took that time off.
They took that time off. Yeah. They shaved it off. Yeah.
Now see, to me,
but it wasn't the last one he was shooting at.
Right.
It wasn't the last one he was shooting at. So they took the time that it took him to hit the target and took it away and then they just added what he hit at the end.
No, that, yeah, so I get it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
They did it very well done. They had musical guests in between and it was kind of, I was like, well, I don't care.
Like when they were setting up the different.
Yeah. Like after some guys got knocked out, they would have a musical. And I was like, I didn't really care for that. But well done, NHL, with the All-Star Skills Competition. It was something to be excited about and watch and have fun.
Nice.
And there was, sorry, I know I'm going long. There's the one-timer challenge.
Okay.
Crosby and Bedard were out there as passers for the one-timers. So Crosby being left-handed would pass to the left-handers.
Mm-hmm.
Bedard being right-handed would pass to the right-handers. And it was really cool because, I mean, like, Crosby obviously Sid the Kid, and then Connor Bedard is like the next Sidney Crosby, you know, like
kid. Yeah.
Supposedly. And so it was like, it was just really cool to see him. And they interviewed, it was Matthews, McKinnon, Crosby, and Bedard in the locker room before the everything. And PK Subban and Kevin Weeks went in there and they were interviewing them. And it was really funny because they're all of them were number one picks at one time.
Right.
And so he was like talking to him, like, what would you do with $1 million or whatever? And they're like, they went over to Crosby and he was like, well, I can't get it. But he's like, I'm just walking around the room trying to make some deals with some guys in case they do win it. Like, yeah, pass some money over my, it was really cool. Anyway,
that is cool. That sounds like it was a good show for the NHL and hopefully it's, you know, a good sign of things to come for them. So I like the fact that they're listening to the players. I like the fact that they're taking that advice. And I think that'll go a long way to improving and promoting the game. So there you go.
Yeah. I think it'll be, it's going to be, yeah, I hope they keep it because I could see them being like, oh, that was fun for 1 week, but let's go back to exactly how we've done it before.
Yeah. Let's not do that. Let's
like the players draft too. I think that's something that I don't know.
Yeah. Abby told me she stayed up till midnight on, when do they do that? Thursday night?
Thursday.
Yeah.
Thursday night.
She stayed up to midnight watching the replay of it. So
that's crazy.
Girl, why?
But yeah, something I was a little annoyed with is they made, so for Matthews, right? Mm-hmm. They made his assistant captains, Marner and Riley, I think, Morgan Riley.
Right.
And it's boring because you don't want to see Matthews play with guys he plays with every day.
Right.
It's like the point is to see Matthews play with Crosby and, you know, like,
yeah,
other guys. So that's something that I was a little irked with. Same with McKinnon and McCarr. Like, I understand you guys are buddies, but you play with each other every, like, something cool is Quinn Hughes and Jack Hughes being on the same team because you don't see them play together. I don't think Hughes is actually playing though, Jack Hughes, because he's still injured.
Right.
But, all right. So all that being said, let's give our grades for the week for the Penguins. This is simply for the Penguins, not about the midseason awards. So Jim, go ahead.
Okay. I'd give them a B.
Yeah.
That's where I'd land.
I'll go B plus.
I think so. they played very well against Florida. I think they played less than well against Montreal. But to come away with 3 points out of those two games, I think is a big plus. And I think having this week of rest for the majority of them is really good for them as well. And I think they're going to come back from the All-Star break. And I hope, and I pray that we'll see, a more focused team, a well-rested team. Yeah, I think it's gonna be fun to watch here in the near future.
Agreed. I think they played well. They controlled pace to play in the Montreal game for the majority of that game. So I think they did play well. They just could not get shots towards Jake Allen, which was the problem. Yeah. So yeah. We'll see how it goes. So what about the point total? What is our thoughts about the point total for next week? They play two games that we will not talk about, like that we won't. They play Winnipeg at 7 p.m. and then on Tuesday the 6th, and then Minnesota at 9, or Minnesota on the 9th at 8 p.m. And then they play Winnipeg on Saturday at 10, but we will be recording that morning. So I was like, whatever. Thoughts on those two games? Do we think what do we think is going to happen there?
So this week with the two games, I think we will see. I think we'll see Pittsburgh pick up maybe 3 points.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if they beat Winnipeg in regulation, or even beat Winnipeg at all. But we'll see. That game is at home, so it's, you know, it's a different animal. But yeah, I think Minnesota will be a win. And it, again, it depends on if Fleury's in net for that game, because Fleury always plays against the Penguins well. So most of the time. But I think I'll say 3 points, 3 out of 4. How about you?
Fair. I would say that as well. I'd say 3, maybe 4.
I hope we get 4.
Yeah, I'd say like, man, that's tough.
It is hard, isn't it?
Winnipeg is a toss-up. I could see the Penguins playing really well against Winnipeg or just absolutely selling it in.
Well, yeah, I mean, it goes back to our discussion on do the Penguins, you know, the Penguins playing up to their potential or up to their competition and down to their competition. Yeah. So
exactly. It's hard.
So maybe it's 3 points the other way. They beat Winnipeg and lose in overtime to Minnesota.
Yeah. Now see what you said about Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah.
I've got the stats in front of me. He doesn't always play well.
No. And I corrected myself.
He's four and four in 8 games with a goal against of .319 and a save percentage of .900 in his career versus the Penguins.
And one of those games was that game he let in 4 in the first period. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
That was sad.
4 on 14 shots. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he got pulled.
Yeah. He had a 21.02 goals against and a .600 save percentage in that game.
Yeah. So not good. Not good.
I will say 4 points. I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. 4 points. I'm not betting on it, but I'm predicting 4 points.
Fair enough, man.
So let's take a break here from DraftKings Sportsbook and be back with random crap we want to talk about today.
Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58? DraftKings Sportsbook has got you covered. New customers can bet on the big game and turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. They've got lines such as the Chiefs on the money line at +105. And I like George Kittle as an anytime touchdown scorer at +140. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the top 45 players of the last 45 years, made by me. It's a scientific method, taking points and awards and Stanley Cup appearances, Stanley Cup finals and playoff success, and how many teams you played on, and puts it together and throws out this list. So, for those of you who haven't been following along, either on the website with the blog that's updated weekly with, you know, the guys who I talk about this week, or to the podcast, here is who we have so far. Some honorable mentions include likes Eric Lindros. Jim is very happy that he's not on the list. Marc-Andre Fleury. Phil Kessel, some other guys like that. But the list is as we got Chris Letang at 45, Duncan Keith, Jonathan Taves, Andre Vasilevsky, Mike Modano, Austin Matthews, Eric Carlson, Ed Belfour, Martin St. Louis, Anze Kopitar, Heinrich Lundqvist, Marian Hossa, Tuukka Rask, Pavel Datsyuk, Patrice Bergeron, Joe Nieuwendyk, Adam Oates, and Timo Solani, Ron Francis, and Scott Niedermayer. So that's 45 through 26. That brings us up to where we are at now with 25 through 21 today.
Okay, so I'm looking at these players kind of faded out on your little picture here, and I think I know who this guy is on the far left, and I think I know who this guy is kind of in the
far
middle.
Left, like
guy,
between Francis and Belfort, the guy, or behind Francis?
Right behind Francis.
Oh, who's that? Who's that?
I think that's Alex Ovechkin. Because that looks like his celly, you know, just raising the hands.
It wouldn't be 45 of the last 45 list without.
I agree. Kobe. I agree.
He's somewhere on here.
No, I agree. I don't know if he's today, but he's probably not today. Probably not.
That's spoiler. Then yeah, OV is that one. And who were you? That's what you're saying.
I see Jager in there.
You said
in the
you knew Ovi, and then
and Jager's probably today. I'm thinking just because he's played for every single
Jager
team in the NHL. In the middle here, just like there's the
right here.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, that's not Jager.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% sure. All right, so here we go.
I think you're teasing me, but that's okay.
25 through 21. First off, we have. I can't. How do I? Oh, there it is. Jerome Iginla. Jerome Iginla is on the list.
Jerome Iginla. He's at 25.
This is very tricky here, this top 25, just because they're all good and they could go pretty much any way, except top three are pretty. It's the top three. So,
yeah.
But Jerome Iginla, he had exactly 1,300 points in his career. Fun fact about Jerome Iginla. Yeah. 625 goals, excuse me, and 675 assists. He played a 20-year career and only got to 50 goals twice and never surpassed 100 points in his career. He brought home hardware in the form of a Art Ross, a Ted Lindsay, two Maurice Richards, one King Clancy, and a Messier, plus four All-Star nods, which I realize I may have been weighing too heavily All-Star nods, so I apologize. Seeing some of the All-Stars this year, it's like, does JT Miller really deserve to be there? I don't know. But anyway, what goes against his argument to get higher on the list, which he could arguably have been, is he only made the postseason 8 times.
Yep.
In 20 years. It'll be kind of, that will be kind of a theme kind of with a couple of these guys, is postseason lack of success.
Was he on 4 different teams?
He played 5 different teams.
5 different
teams. We'll get there. No, it's okay. He only averaged 10 games per appearance. So that means, you know, he made it to maybe round 2-ish. He only made the finals once, and he lost it to Tampa Bay, and I believe that was 2003.
Yeah.
And he averaged 8 games per postseason. No, wait, what? Oh, you take out the cup run. There it is. And he averaged only 8 games per postseason appearance. Iginla played on 5 different teams throughout his career, playing 16 years with Calgary, 2.5 with Colorado, and parts of seasons with Boston, Pittsburgh, and Los Angeles Kings. And I'm not going to knock him for playing on 5 teams because he did play 16 years with Calgary and 18.5 with 2 teams out of the 20. So all that makes Jerome Iginla sit at 25. And you're going to love this next one here at 24.
I am? Okay.
You
Hit
are,
me.
Yeah.
Hit me.
Brandon Shanahan.
Hey, I like Brandy.
You've said some things about him in the past that made me think you did not.
Oh, he really was care for the guy. He was an agitator. He got under your skin.
Yeah.
Putting
this together, I went back and watched the Rumble in Hockey Town or whatever with Colorado and Detroit.
Yep.
That was fun. I posted on Facebook. I was like, this is hockey, guys. This is why the sport's the best sport in the world.
Yep.
Brandon Shanahan posted 1,354 points in his career with 656 goals, 698 assists in 1,524 games. Individually, he was nominated to 3 All-Star games and a King Clancy Award for, get this, leadership and humanitarian contribution. Brandon Shanahan won the King Clancy. Anyway, Shanahan played 9 years in Detroit, 5 in New Jersey, 4 in St. Louis, 1 and some change in Hartford, and 2 in New York with the Rangers. That's 21 years. He made it to the postseason 19 times in 21 years.
Nice.
And for those of you who can't do math, he only missed 2 years, making it 90.4% of the time.
Probably the 2 years he was in Hartford.
I would assume. The reason he isn't high is higher than Nginla, because Nginla, you know, could have been put higher than him. It's because he won three cups.
Mm-hmm.
Nginla won none. He only made it to one. Shanahan made it to three, won three. And he won it all with Detroit.
All three were with Detroit. I thought he won one with New Jersey, too, but okay.
97-98, 98-99, and 01-02, he was with Detroit.
Okay.
He played 184 games in the playoffs, making the finals three times and winning it every single time, like I said. And you could argue that he belongs lower because he was kind of a poophead, but I don't care what you say. I look at the stats. I look at the cups. He sits at 24.
There's an art to being an agitator.
Yeah.
To where you can get guys to take a penalty and not get one yourself.
Yep.
That's an art. And he was one of the best. He definitely was one of the best. I didn't like that because he was never on my team. If he had been on my team, I'd be like, yeah, go rile him up.
Yeah, you would have loved it if he was on your team.
Yep.
That's what I always say. You love them when they're on your team, and you like the Tom Wilson. Yes. Caps fans love him.
Yes.
Everyone else hates him.
Yes.
23.
Patty Kane. There he is.
Only current player on this list this week. He's played 16 years in the NHL and is currently in his 17th with the Red Wings. He's played 15 and a half years with Chicago and half a year with the Rangers. Plus this year with the Wings. He sits at currently, as when I wrote this up, which was yesterday, which he's not playing. So these are correct stats. 1,199 games. It's hard doing current players.
It is.
Like with the Matthews one, he's already surpassed what I said he was when we did the podcast.
That's okay.
So he sits at 1,199 games played, putting up 1,253 points with 458 goals, which is surprising, and 795 assists, that he has more assists than goals. He's had two seasons of 100-plus points and never scored less than double-digit goals. He won the Calder in his rookie year in 07-08, the Smythe in 12-13, an Art Ross, a Ted Lindsay, and a Hart all in 2015-2016 season. Plus, four all-star nominations. He's a three-time Stanley Cup champion with Jonathan Toews and Duncan Keith helping him out in all three. He's also a prominent postseason performer. He made the playoffs 11 times in his 16-and-a-half-year career, missing it this year more than likely. He made the made the finals three times, like we said. He put up 138 points in 143 playoff games. And all this brings me to think that Patrick Kane deserves to be on this list. And where he ended up,
23.
That's right good. Behind two Penguin greats. So this number 22, can you guess?
Jaromir Jagr.
Larry Murphy.
Oh, Larry Murphy.
Murph man.
There he is.
I don't know if they call him that, but Smurf. Or I would call him Murph the Smurf. He looks like a Smurf. He's a freaky looking dude. If you look at pictures of Larry Murphy, thing that nightmares are made of. Larry Murphy has 1,217 points in 615 games as a defenseman. He's scored 288 goals and 929 assists. And plus, he's a four-time champion, Stanley Cup champion, and a three-time All-Star. He made the playoffs in 20 times out of his 21-year career. So better than Shanny. He played 215 games in the postseason and scored 152 points, having an all-time postseason, plus minus, of plus 201.
Oh, all-time.
You add up his postseason record, and that's what he has. He has played on five different teams. So, you know, you kind of knocked that against him. But I looked it up and went deeper, and he never hit free agency. All the five different teams he played on, he got traded to. He got traded from, let me see if I can remember. I don't have it written down, but he got traded from Pittsburgh. He got traded from Dallas. He got traded from, played for the Rangers, I think, Maple Leafs, and Washington. Those were the teams he played on.
Okay.
And he got traded up from all of them. So I don't know if I weighed that against him as heavily as I should have or more than I should have, but he sits at 22.
So he won two cups with Pittsburgh. Who were the other two teams he won a cup with?
It's a good question. I believe he didn't win it with Toronto, obviously, because Toronto is Buns. Toronto.
I can look that
Larry Murphy Stanley Cup championships. Two with Pittsburgh and two with Detroit. So he played with Detroit.
That's right.
Let me see if I can figure out it. He played for Toronto, Detroit, Minnesota. Oh, you played on six teams. I lied. I'm sorry.
Bum, bum, bum.
Six teams. Washington, Pittsburgh, Detroit, LA, Minnesota, North Stars, and Toronto.
Okay.
Not in that order. All right. But he got traded to every team he played on.
All right.
He got traded from the Kings to Washington, Washington to the North Stars, North Stars to Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh to Toronto. Oh, I might have lied there. He didn't get traded to Toronto. So he left Pittsburgh, went to Toronto. I lied there, guys. I'm sorry. But anyway.
Your heart's in the right place.
There you go. It is in the right place. Larry Murphy, 22.
All right.
21.
Yaromir
Jagr. You know who this is because we talked about this.
Yes.
Jagr. See, that's Jagr, not there. Who do you think that is?
Where's Jagr?
Right here between Shanahan and St. Louis.
Oh. Well, then who the heck is that?
I don't know. You'll find out.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll find out later.
I think that's next week's guy, too. Jagr, mainstay in the hockey world and is still playing.
Oh, that's okay. Never mind. Continue.
Who do you think that is?
Never mind. Continue. Who is it? It's got to be Gino. Who is it? It's got to be Gino because there's not another Penguin on this list other than Sid.
Gino could be wearing white.
That's true. He could be.
921 points in 1733 games, 766 goals, and 1,155 assists. Personal hardware looks like 5 Art Rosses, 1 Hart, 3 Ted Lindsays, and 1 Bill Masterton for Comeback Player of the Year.
Yep.
In the playoffs, he's made it 18 years out of the 24 that he played. Averaging playing in 208 games or playing in 208 games, averaging 0.96 points per game. In his first 2 years in the league, he won 2 cups, riding the coattails of Mario Lemieux. And then Lemieux, you know, left, retired. What else did Jagr do? Nothing. Playoff wise, nothing. He played another 22 years and never sniffed another final until 2012, 2013, making it with Boston and then losing it. But he was riding coattails then. I looked it up. He was like the 7th highest scorer on that Boston team behind, you know, Bergeron, Marchand, and those guys. So, yes, Jagr was great in the regular season. Great regular season performer. Put up monster stats. Long longevity.
Mm-hmm.
But he could never lead a team to the finals.
It's true.
Never.
It's true.
And so, because of that, like, I struggled with this, putting him at 21 because, you know, Jagr, right?
Yeah.
But the leadership aspect of the cup, the lacking of the cups is what it is. Like, he's won it first 2 years, then nothing else.
I would think Jagr has to be on the Mount Rushmore of Penguins players.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's Mario, Sid, Gino, and Jagr. I think it's got to be those Gino? Four.
What about Marian Hossa?
Yeah. Yeah. no, but yeah, I think it would be those four. I don't think there's anybody else that would really, I mean, probably maybe a goalie, maybe
Ron like, Francis,
maybe, Tom Barrasso. Maybe Ron Francis, Tom Barrasso, maybe Marc-Andre Fleury. I don't know, but yeah, it's,
I'm more partial to Thomas Greiss putting him up there on the Mount Rushmore, but you know,
yeah,
that's the list for today. We got, Jerome McGinn, LeBrandon Shanahan, Patrick Kane, Larry Murphy, and then Jaromir Jagr.
Nice.
If you have any arguments, take it up with the complaint department.
Yes. So,
it's not me. But there you go. We will have 20 through 16 next week.
All right. Sounds good, man. Well done.
We'll find out who this little guy here is, and then maybe this guy over here. Maybe this guy here.
Okay. Okay. We get it. Thanks. Well done. Well done.
Thank you.
Proud of you. That's not easy to do. So
it's been a fun project. Made me rethink my hockey knowledge.
Yeah,
which is good
for sure. All right, good. All right. Good random crap. So
it is random. That's for sure. All right, time for predictions.
Prediction time. Okay,
what happened last week? I think Andrew had a pretty good week. If I remember correctly.
Andrew had a good week. Jim kind of separated himself from Abby a little bit this week.
Yeah.
Abby
and I are tied now in points.
Yes. Abby went 2-for-5. Andrew went 3-for-5. Jim went 4-for-5. So the scores as they stand.
Okay, sorry. Hold. Wait a second. We have to talk about this.
What?
My Nashville Predators. Yes. I supported them.
Yes, you did.
I went against everything I believed in supporting my Nashville Predators.
Like, yeah.
you guys kind of put on an intervention for me in picking them. I backed off a little bit, and I got a couple right. I nailed a couple. I also failed a couple. But then this week we had them against Ottawa.
Yeah.
I picked them, and I got the notifications up 3-0 halfway through the game.
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
I'm riding high. I'm gonna take the week.
They kind of blew it. They kind of blew it. No,
the Senators scored 4 unanswered, won it in overtime. How?
Yeah.
I was mad.
Yeah.
I was upset at that. Anyway.
I would be too.
I could have had a 4-for-5 week. I don't think I've had one of those yet this year.
Looking at overall prediction totals for us as a team, we went 60% this week. Total for the year, we're 53.3%. So I mean, it was a good week for Andrew and Jim, both Andrew at 60, Jim at 80%. So I mean, that's where it stands. So Boston, Philadelphia, we all picked Boston. Boston won that game 6-2. Washington, Dallas, we all picked Dallas. Dallas won that game 5-4 in overtime.
That was a close one. That one, mm-hmm. Sphincter clincher.
Yep. Yep. Toronto, Winnipeg, we could probably throw that game out. We all picked Winnipeg, and Toronto wound up winning that game. And then Montreal, Pittsburgh won that game 3-2 in overtime. And here's the funny thing, both the Toronto game and the Montreal game, Abby picked the right score, but the wrong winner. So it was 3-2 in overtime. Abby had Montreal winning at 3-2 in overtime. Abby had Winnipeg winning 4-2, and Toronto won 4-2. So kind of a crazy week for Abs. She could have actually distanced herself quite a lot. She could have been in the lead had those two games kind of went the other way, but they didn't, and it is what it is. And then the game Andrew was referring to, Nashville at Ottawa. Yes. Ottawa wins 4-3 in overtime. Jim, the only one who picked that game.
What the heck, Nashville?
So
what the heck?
The standings as of the end of week 17, Jim leads at 48, and Andrew and Abby are tied for second at 44. So still close. Still close. Anything still can happen.
Anyone's game.
Yep, anything can happen. All right, so here are the week 18 predictions. Again, coming off of All-Star week, no games really on the schedule until Monday. So the first game that we're going to be picking this week is Monday the 5th at 7 p.m., New York Islanders at Toronto. The second game is Tuesday at 7, Winnipeg at Pittsburgh, and then another Tuesday at 7 game, Dallas at Buffalo. And then on Wednesday, we're picking Minnesota at Chicago. That's kind of a meh game, I know, but it was on the schedule. So then Thursday at 7, Vancouver at Boston. I will be very interested to hear Andrew's pick on this game as well. We have Abby's picks. I picked mine because I had to pick first, and then Abby sent hers in, and we have those inputted into the list, and so I will be sharing those as we go as well. So, Andrew, you get last pick since you were in last place the week before. Now you're tied, but you still get last pick, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, man. So here's the first game, New York Islanders at Toronto. I'm taking Toronto in this game to win 4-3. Abby is taking the Islanders to win 3-2. Actually, I'm saying 4-3 in overtime. And then Abby's taking the New York Islanders 3-2. Andrew, who do you have?
I'm going to go Toronto by score of 3-1.
3-1. Okay. Next game is Winnipeg at Pittsburgh. I am actually, and as much as it pains me to do this, I'm picking Winnipeg to win this game big, 5-2. I think they come in, and I hope I'm wrong. You know, this is one of those games where picking Winnipeg, I'm not going to be disappointed either way this game goes down, but I think Winnipeg wins this game 5-2. Abby has Pittsburgh winning this game 4-3 in overtime. It seems like Pittsburgh takes games to overtime a lot lately, and she's thinking that will continue. So who you have, Andrew, winning this one?
I also have Pittsburgh in overtime 3-2.
3-2 in overtime. Okay.
Yep.
Next game is Dallas at Buffalo. No, Dallas at Buffalo. I'm taking Dallas to win this game 5-3. Abby also taking Dallas to win this game 4-1. Andrew, who you got?
Dallas to win 4-1.
Okay. Same as Abby. Okay.
Yep.
All right. This game's going to be tough to pick, I think. Minnesota at Chicago. I went back and forth on this, but realizing Connor Bedard is out for an extended period, I think Minnesota wins this game 3-1. I think it's going to be like 2-1 at near the end, and Minnesota's going to get an empty netter to put it away 3-1. So Abby has Chicago winning this game 4-2. Without Bedard, I just don't see this team. I mean, again, it's Minnesota, but I don't know. But she has Chicago winning 4-2. Andrew, who you have?
The score's 5-1 in favor of the Blackhawks.
Wow. Chicago 5-1. Okay. And then finally, this is the game I'm interested to hear Andrew's take on. We have Vancouver at Boston. I'm taking Vancouver to win this game 5-4 in overtime. Abby's taking Vancouver as well to win 3-2 in overtime. Who do you got, Andrew?
See, this is the Andrew Bowl of my secondary teams. It's tough, but I think Vancouver's got the talent. I think they do. I think Vancouver's going to win 4-2.
Okay. So Andrew's picking this game in regulation. All right. So here are our predictions for this week. Game one, New York Islanders at Toronto. Andrew and Jim both have Toronto. Andrew 3-1, Jim 4-3 in overtime. Abby has the Islanders winning 3-2. Winnipeg at Pittsburgh. Jim's picking Winnipeg 5-2. Andrew and Abby are picking Pittsburgh in overtime. Andrew 3-2, Abby 4-3. Dallas at Buffalo. Everybody's picking Dallas. Andrew and Abby are both picking Dallas at 4-1, and Jim's picking Dallas 5-3. Game four, Minnesota at Chicago. Andrew and Abby are both picking Chicago. Andrew 5-1, Abby 4-2. Jim's got Minnesota winning this game 3-1. And finally, Vancouver at Boston. Everybody's picking Vancouver. Andrew 4-2, Abby 3-2 in overtime. Jim 5-4 in overtime. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is your prediction contest for this week. Now, quick guess here. Which team of the All-Star teams do you like to win the All-Star weekend tonight or this afternoon?
This afternoon, yeah. I got to look up the rosters, though. Like, I don't... It's a good question. Doing the draft, it's tougher. Because before it was like, it's not hard.
So Team Hughes has Jack and Quinn Hughes.
No, Jack's not playing.
Well, Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, Kucherov, Thatcher Demko, Kyle Connor, Brady Tkachuk, Jesper Bratt, Cam Talbot, Brock Besser, JT Miller, Frank Vetrano. Team Hughes.
Yeah.
Team Matthews has Matthews, Riley, Nylander, Marner, Ottinger, Keller, Barzell, Shesterkin, Forsberg, Philip Forsberg, DeBrincat, and Trocheck. Team McKinnon has McKinnon, Makar, Crosby, Georgiev, Kaprizov, Sebastian Aho, Tom Wilson, Jeremy Swayman, Travis Konecny, Elias Lindholm, and Oliver Bjorkstrand. And then Team McDavid is McDavid and Draisaitl, Connor Hellebuck, David Pastrnak, Rasmus Dahlin, Robert Thomas, Sam Reinhart, Sergei Bobrovsky, Boone Jenner, Nick Suzuki, and Thomas Hertl. Which of those four teams do you like the best?
Yeah. It's hard pick McKinnon's team.
It is.
Swayman and Georgiev.
Yeah, I think if they had gotten maybe, I don't know, I think I might have picked, instead of Georgiev, I would think I would have picked a better goalie there. But
yeah, but that's what's tough is like their teams are, you kind of feel like a loyalty to pick your teammates, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, but they do have Swayman. I think Swayman is pretty.
I agree. And it depends on how they play, Swayman. Like if they play Swayman to, you know, to anchor them at the end of the game, yeah. I think they got a good chance. But
yeah, but also I do like the Austin Matthews team as well.
I do too.
I think they've got a really good.
I think it'll be between blue and gold, but I think yeah. I'll pick gold. I'll take gold.
I think you mean the blue and maize.
The blue and maize. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let's not alienate a bunch of people.
RIP.
Ohio State.
Harbaugh.
Oh, yeah. Harbaugh's in Los Angeles, San Diego now, or Los Angeles.
So I'll take McKinnon. You take Matthews. We'll see how it shakes out.
Okay. So. All right. Fair enough. Okay, man.
Good luck losing.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome. All right. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. Minor detail. Sean Monahan goes to Winnipeg for a first and a third from the Habs. So there's that. Not some trade deadline stuff. Or trades, I guess.
Yeah. There you go.
So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Pens and Stuff podcast. Please follow us where you can on Instagram and Facebook. Links in the bio. Make sure to stay tuned for some exciting news about a possible website and merchandise. So awesome. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Jim.
Let's go Pens.
Let's
for Abby. Let's go
Pens. Go. Let's freaking go, boys.